Hey guys, welcome back to Unscripted Scripture. I'm Jack.
I'm Zach.
Yeah.
What's up, guys?
Wow.
It's another week in Unscripted Scripture. Me and Jack are here. We're fully loaded with some great information. Jack, let's start off with a random question.
Okay.
If you were to be a baseball player, football player, basketball player, or hockey player, which one would you be?
If I had the skill set to be the best at that sport, is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Yes.
Definitely hockey player.
What?
Yeah, man. That would be awesome.
I did not think we would say that.
Because I'd have the flow going, and I'd have, like, no front teeth. That's what I'm talking about. That's the life.
Yeah, and somehow you would, like, still be able to pick up Jenna.
Oh, obviously. No.
I'm kidding. If you had no teeth.
Well, and it's like, you know, I play rugby, and that's like the closest I feel like I could get to rugby.
If you're a baseball player?
Hockey.
Oh, hockey? Sorry, you were breaking in and out.
Hockey, sorry, hockey, yeah.
Oh, hockey, all right. All right.
What about you?
Yeah. As much as I hate basketball, probably a basketball player. Come on, Zach. Really? No, I can't. I don't think that's my
answer. Would you be the 7-foot Yao Ming basketball player?
See,
or
that's why I said basketball, because I want to be 7 foot.
Or like would you be the 5'2" Muggsy Bogues Nate Robinson basketball player?
No. I feel like they have to put in too much work. Those tall guys,
that's true.
Stand there and put the ball in the hoop. Or get those rebounds. But hey, I could be like Aaron Judge then if
that's
I was
true.
Baseball.
That's true.
Or
tall people get multi sports.
Right.
They can be anything.
Yeah. So or tight end if I was football.
Yeah.
So it would be fun to play hockey.
Oh yeah.
Well, let's go with the basketball answer for now.
Good.
I think basketball is my least favorite. I think I'd be a basketball player.
Well, staying on the topic of sports, let's get into the Bible.
Yeah, sure. We're talking about Luke.
Yeah.
Well, we're in Luke.
Which is so weird because we were just in Luke 2 last week. Now we're taking it back a step and going to Luke 1.
One, I know.
Funny how that works.
Yeah. We'll see. Luke 1, me and Jack, we really wanted to do the story of John the Baptist.
Yeah, because if you know anything about John the Baptist, it's the time when he's preparing the way for Jesus and not his upbringing. And so this is the story of his birth and also kind of the birth of Mary, or not Mary, Jesus. But not the full birth, kind of his her pregnancy. So it ties into that, and it's a really cool story. We're excited to share it with you.
Yeah, definitely. Jack, while you were talking, I just got my picture by a Caleb Geyer.
No way. Shout out.
Yeah, he just took my picture. So I don't know if you heard me whispering there, but I was telling Caleb how to take my picture.
I thought you were praying. It's okay.
Oh, really?
No, I knew what you said.
Oh, okay. All right. Nice. Yeah, so you guys will have to check that out if it gets posted on the Instagram. # Caleb Geyer. or at whatever. Back to John the Baptist.
Yes.
Yeah,
take it.
Who's on our set? We got, you already said that it was Zachariah,
mm-hmm.
Elizabeth, Mary, no Joseph. Right? I don't think
he's in there, but he isn't. I don't think he has many speaking
roles. He's not a
roles.
Main character. Right?
Yeah.
This is like a play. We're like,
yeah, this is a play.
Getting all the characters out.
The cast and crew.
Who's going to play who? Yeah, the casting crew.
Yeah.
We got John the Baptist, obviously. and a little bit of Jesus, some angels. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so when we start off in Luke 1:1, this is just the introduction that the writer Luke is, he's kind of introducing us to the whole book. And we find that he is intending to write it to a guy named Theophilus. Theophilus.
Yeah.
Who we don't, I've never heard of up until this
point. No, I know. And I saw that and I was kind of curious about that too. Like, okay, Luke, what are you?
Yeah. Who is this guy?
Yeah. Right.
And apparently he's some, he's a Gentile who is either a new believer or someone mm-hmm. seeking to know more about Jesus.
Oh, really?
That's kind of what my Bible
it up. You know who he actually is.
Yeah. Well, my Bible kind of introduced him. And
okay.
When I look at like my Bible's description, it's pretty cool because a lot of new believers in our world now, I feel like could turn to Luke in that same sense and really get the feel of who Jesus was and his birth and all the way through his discipleship to his death. So Luke kind of wrote this for new believers as an easy way to understand who Jesus was. And that's the truth about all the Gospels, really, I think.
Right. And he wrote Acts 2, which is on the start of the church.
Yeah.
So, Luke did a really good job. I love that he was one of the gospel writers, and then I love that he was the one who wrote Acts.
Luke was like the spark notes of his time.
Yes.
He was the guy that he gave us that, like, the out, that we don't have to read the whole thing. We'll just get a little tidbit of it all.
Right. But then I feel like in Acts, he then got more descriptive.
Yeah. This is college-level spark notes.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I feel like in Luke, he's one of the shorter gospels, more easily understandable gospels.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you go to Acts, well, I guess he's the only writer. So maybe if someone else would have wrote it, it would have been more complex. But
yeah.
He does put a lot of detail in it.
But Luke was a doctor, of all things. Like, he wasn't a writer.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he really?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Huh. That's kind of cool to think about their careers. I mean, I guess most of them were fishermen.
Yeah. Before they were called to their true,
Right.
What Jesus had them doing.
Huh.
So if we carry on past the introduction, we start in Luke 1:5, and we're at the time of Herod, the king of Judea. This is the same Herod that rules over during the first year or so of Jesus's life. Mm. And here we meet Zechariah, who's a priest, and his wife Elizabeth.
Zechariah. Nice. Sometimes people call me Zechariah, but I'm Zachary.
Yeah, it's easily confused.
Right.
It's hard.
Yeah, and his wife Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, Zechariah was a priest.
And both of them were righteous in the sight of God, as it says in 6. So they observed God and they led a life fearing him. And but it turns out that Elizabeth and Zechariah were childless. They weren't able to conceive a child.
Right.
Because they were both of old age.
Right. They were old. But like, why wouldn't they have a child when they were younger?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Is it just because of the career path Zechariah was in? Was it because he was a priest? And
It's hard to say. I mean, we've seen this happen throughout the Bible, like a lot of times. Just I think back when we studied Abraham and his wife.
Sarah.
Yeah, and they were trying their whole life to get pregnant. And didn't happen until an angel came to them and blessed them.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought while reading just the beginning part of this was, wait, am I reading Zechariah and Elizabeth, or is this Abraham and Sarah?
Yeah.
So.
And so we carry on in 8, and this is when we start to see the story take shape. And so Zechariah was one of the priests in Judea, and he was chosen by a lot, according to the custom of priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And here's a little history on this whole situation. The casting lots that was done in that time was believed to show that God was sovereign and that he had power and control over everything. So it was the same as we would think, like drawing straws to or rolling the dice, because it's not up to you. It's up to God to choose who does what and then what happens. So it's all a matter of faith. And then this thing about burning incense, what the significance was there is that incense atones for sins, which is why the high priest would burn them on behalf of all of Israel. So it was a custom on the Day of Atonement that a priest would burn the incense. And so this was what Zechariah was chosen to do in the temple.
Nice. So, yeah, so... what would like the modern lot, like what would a lot look like in modern days?
That's why I related it to like rolling the dice. Cause I think it's not up to you. It's all about luck and about wherever the dice lands. That's what we're going to do, you know?
Nice. Little history lesson from Jack Drummond.
Little history lesson. That's all part of the Bible. And then in 11, we see the Lord appear. Angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah inside the temple. Zechariah saw him, and he was gripped with fear immediately. But the angel reassured him and said, "Don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to call him John."
Yeah. John.
John. Zechariah's like, "Are you serious? I got a name John? Such a boring name. So lame."
No, he wasn't.
He's like, I wanted to name him Zechariah Jr.
Yeah, I know. Well, actually, as we read on, that's what people will say.
I know, that's right.
But yeah, then, well, continues on in 14, said he will be a joy and a delight to you. And he will, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to drink wine. And any other fermented drinks. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born.
Yes.
Which is crazy because the Holy Spirit wasn't really a thing.
Yeah.
Until, like, he was the first one to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Until after, like, Jesus died, did the Holy Spirit start to come into play, especially in the lives of the disciples.
Right, so John the Baptist was like the one who, like, he was the guinea pig for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but his whole thing, as we'll see later, is his whole purpose in life isn't to be the minister and like take on Jesus's role. His way is to just prepare people for Jesus, and he was fully about that.
Right.
But when I looked at some things, like going back to they named him John. This is only the seventh time in the Bible, where people were named before they were born. So they were named by God before they were born. Huh. And this we see in King Solomon, Ishmael, who's the son of Hagar, Isaac, the son of Sarah, Josiah, Cyrus, John, and then eventually Jesus.
Jesus? Yes, I knew it. So, I knew Jesus. I didn't know the rest of them.
But I thought that was so cool. Like, out of people who have ever come out of this book, seven people were named by God.
Yeah, out of all the births that were in.
Yeah, all the greats. Even David, you know, David, Daniel.
Right.
Everybody. Noah, Moses. Huh. So, John is very special.
Yeah. Huh. It's a cool stat.
Yeah, how about that statistic?
Good job, Jack.
But so John is special, and Zechariah understands that. But then Zechariah goes on to ask the angel with a little doubt. He says, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in her years." And the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." And so Zechariah was made mute by Gabriel because of his doubting the power of God.
Right, and it's pretty crazy for, like, a priest to be mute, to be silent. Because I don't know about you guys, but most of the pastors and priests I know, they're pretty talkative people.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, their job is to speak in front of people. So, like, they know how to talk. So, like, yeah. That was taking a big, big tool that Zechariah had away from him. Like, that was probably very...
I mean, and I would have questions too, like, yeah. But it's crazy because he's, like, still in the temple when all this is happening. So he went in preparing to burn incense. He comes out with all this knowledge about what's going to happen, but he can't tell anybody about it. So it's interesting how we'll go on to see Elizabeth, like, knows so much about his name and when he's born, like, how did Zechariah tell her? You know, a lot of hand signals. That's all I'm saying.
a lot of stone tablets.
Waving and yeah, throwing stuff and
writing it.
Stone tablets. Yeah.
Stone tablets.
That's good. I like that.
Nice. Well, then it kind of pretty much just goes. Yeah, long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak. They realized. Had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them by reminder, unable to speak. But yeah, so then he went home, and then after this, Elizabeth became pregnant, and she showed favor and taken away by my disgrace among the people. Is what she said. She said, the Lord has done this for me. And she really saw that she was special in this time, that she was chosen to carry. Kind of like the start of the story of Jesus. Like, was pretty much the start of it. I mean, a lot of people give Mary a lot of credit, because she deserves a lot of credit, but Elizabeth too, just to carry John the Baptist and really realize her purpose.
Yeah,
for this story is pretty cool right there.
And she, as we see in 1:26 begins, she's actually related to Mary, and Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant with John when God sends Gabriel. Is this the same Gabriel? Do you think that went to John? Or it went to Zechariah?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
How cool is that? So then the angel Gabriel again comes down to earth, but comes to Mary this time, who is a virgin who is pledged to be married to Joseph. And the angel greets her with, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And again, he says, Mary, don't be afraid. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus.
That's crazy. All right. So, like, you think back to, like, something that's really important in your life. Like, something big happens, and it happens in, like, a split second. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. Maybe you were in an accident, and, you know, you remember all those little things. Like, oh, I was in an accident. And then you remember, like, this happened.
Yeah.
I think, like, Mary was like, there's an angel. And then, like, later on, she's like, and he said I was highly favored. I almost said flavored. Highly favored.
yeah.
That's pretty crazy. I can just imagine what's going through her head. I think it took her, like, definitely days just to process that an angel came down to see her.
Yeah.
And then it took her days later to process what he said. I couldn't imagine.
But with so many mixed feelings too, because yeah, there's joy and there's like wonder and unbelief, disbelief in that. Yeah. But then there's a lot of fear because like she wasn't married. She was a virgin. And right. So to have to tell people that like God gave me this child, and like walk around, even to tell Joseph that like,
yeah,
I'm pregnant, but I didn't sleep with anybody. Like it's from God. For him to believe that is that's insane. I mean, that's just
right. And in the beginning, he didn't really.
No,
it took an angel to,
yeah,
kind of be like, "Yo, Joseph,
listen to her, man. Take her as your wife."
Right. Oh wow.
But still, like, things... outcasts, just like that sense of, yeah. I love this, but I hate this because, yeah, it's a double edged sword.
Right. You love. She loved that God was using her. Like, you can say that for our lives too. Like, God use me. God use me.
Mm-hmm.
And then He is using you, but not for what you wanted Him to use you for. It might take you out of your comfort zone. So we can really see that in Mary.
And it can be hard to see at first too. Like, you won't see God's work maybe months, years later,
because it doesn't fit our worldly
plan.
And that's how it was for Mary.
Absolutely. And this next part in 32, this is what differentiates Mary and Jesus from Elizabeth and John, is that Gabriel said that Jesus will be great, be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And when Mary questions this because she's a virgin, the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, who your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her 6 months. For no word from God will ever fail. And Mary responds humbly that she's the Lord's servant. May the word, may your word to me be fulfilled. And that's when Gabriel left. And so Mary is like, I mean, this her son's going to be the next king.
But,
but not the king that David was, like, more than that, the kingdom of God. And that's a whole nother wave of disbelief and awe that she has to reconcile in her mind and her heart.
Right. And that was my whole point last week. By the way, if you didn't listen to last week's podcast, go back and listen. We talked about Jesus when he was at the
temple.
Temple, yeah, sorry. When he's at the temple, and the whole thing was that I was surprised Mary, like, with the big, I guess, pressure that she had this Son of God, that they would just leave him there, like, that they weren't more paranoid about him. But yeah, that's a lot of pressure to be put on Mary.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, she took it in stride, and she's like, in 38, like, yeah, let's do it. Like, I'm ready for it.
Let's run, yeah.
And I also read that, like, Jesus was actually a really common name back then.
No.
Yeah, because I read about this historian called Josephus, who mentioned more than a dozen people with that name, and they found over 100 tombs in Jerusalem with the name Jesus on it.
Oh, wow. Huh.
So either he's wrong and there's like they just worship Jesus in death, or there actually were a lot of people named Jesus.
Huh.
So it like Jesus and John, you know, not that uncommon, just the people themselves. One of a kind, man.
Sure. That's actually, I didn't know that stat.
Yeah, me neither. And so we'll carry on. When we go into Mary visiting Elizabeth, and so after Gabriel left, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, and she came to Zechariah's home, and that's where she met with Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you believe that, man?
Yeah, that's...
John was ready to bust out of the womb to meet woo-hoo! Jesus.
He was like, yeah, hooray, hooray.
He's like, so, that's the first time he's like, because he was like that his whole life. Like, Jesus is coming, I can't wait, I can't wait. Even in the womb, he's like pounding to get out.
Right. Well, if you go back to 114, or was that 116, where it talked about the Holy Spirit was going to be in John the Baptist before he was even born.
Yeah.
And I think this shows right here just kind of the Spirit acting in John the Baptist. It's 115, by the way.
115.
But that's crazy, jumping for joy. So I was talking to Jack before the podcast, like maybe a week ago, and each year for Christmas at my grandparents' house, we act out the whole Christmas story. And we act this part out because my grandma just loves how important it is, just of the story of Jesus. So every time whoever's Elizabeth, they always have like a pillow in their stomach, in their under their shirt, I guess. And every time that someone reads that, they always like make the pillow jump and go wild. So every time I read this verse, I just think of that and laugh. But sorry.
That's great. No, man. Love it. And so all the women are shouting and blessing are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And so it's just, I mean, it's just ecstatic with joy. And Zechariah is over there in the corner not being able to speak, watching all this stuff happen.
I keep forgetting about it.
He can't talk for 9 months, man.
Dude, that is crazy.
That's nuts, right?
9 months.
Gosh. And he's a priest. Like you said, it's his job. Hey, man, the trials he went through, though, I mean, it's going to be worth it. So then this next part, this is when the story stops and Mary breaks into her musical number and in Mary's song. And this is when she lays out her soul and her heart and glorifies God. And gives him everything.
So at the beginning when we said it's a play, it's not a play, it's a musical.
It is. It's a musical, yeah. Luke 1.
There you go. Right.
It's so fun.
But then what happens after she sings? After Mary sings,
mm-hmm.
then next comes the birth of John the Baptist.
Yes, sir. So she gave birth to John, and all her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. And we're looking at 159. And after 8 days after the birth, the time came to circumcise the child. And mind you, Zechariah is still mute. And they wanted to name him after Zechariah.
Right.
And Elizabeth spoke up and said, no, he's to be called John. And the people said, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. Mm-hmm. And Zechariah is probably going nuts over here, like waving his hands, like, name him John. And they made signs to Zechariah to find out what he would like the name to be. And that's when he asked for the tablet. And he wrote, his name is John. And then his mouth was opened and
immediately
praised God.
Which, why? I don't know. Why did it have to happen like this? Like, do you think Zechariah didn't agree with it? Like, he didn't want the name to be John, but this was him accepting it. Like, yes, his name will be John.
Yeah, I mean, after 9 months, he was probably ready after month one to be able to talk and just give over everything to God and say, you know what? Yeah, he's John because you say he is. I am who you say I am.
Do we think we know why God, just because he had doubt in the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
You think that, so like,
I think that's it.
When the angel shut up his mouth, God's like, yeah, I don't want to hear your questions.
Yeah.
I
mean, every time
understand it all.
You doubt, at that time, it was so fragile. And we look at other times in the Bible, back to Abraham again, when Lot and his family were leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. And the angels said, don't look back when they were fleeing the city. Don't look back at the city of sin, and Lot's wife turned back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt for disobeying God. And so just the fact that that would happen, one mistake and you'll be punished. Like, that's how big these moments are. And that's how our faith is tested daily in this world. Like, that we disobey God and we're going to suffer consequences. We'll feel that suffering, maybe not initially, but over time we'll start to feel it and we'll want to turn back to Him. But back in this time, man, it's like, no, you suffer now, then you'll really get punished for it. So they were all praising God. Mm-hmm. All the neighbors were just in awe that Zechariah could finally speak again, and they were asking, "What then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him." So they were just amazed and like couldn't wait to see how John the Baptist would turn out. And then we flow into the next musical number with Zechariah's song.
Yeah. Now he started singing like "Hallelujah, praise the Lord."
Yeah.
He's
filled with the Holy Spirit and just praises God so much for all His power and for the child and the last part of Luke 1 is talking about how the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel.
Yeah, I every time I imagine John is just this big hairy guy, big strong hairy guy, like lumberjack type of guy who's just like,
yeah. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Like, it was so light and peaceful, and that last verse, yeah, he lived in the wilderness. Doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And we'll reflect on Matthew just a little bit into like how he lived. Matthew 3:4 talks about John preparing the way, and John's clothes were made of camel's hair. He had a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. They called him the wild man, John.
Yeah. See, that just does put the... You really do think of him as a wild man.
Absolutely.
Oh, John. Yeah.
But that's the man you want to be. Like, he emulated the humility and the what it meant to be content with life. Like, you don't need things. Right. We don't need materials. We just need God and the hope that Jesus will make everything new again. And that's exactly what he did.
Right. And it's crazy just the amount of faith and just who he was, probably mostly because of Zechariah being the priest and just all the wisdom that Zechariah was able to teach him. And then just kind of the Elizabeth having that, she's always seemed like she was that uppity person.
Yeah.
So he had a good combination of parents that were able to raise him. It wasn't like he was raised by Jesus' teachings, because he was before Jesus. So amazing guy to pave the way.
And just Zechariah teaching him that, I mean, patience, even before he's born, what it meant to be patient because of how he couldn't say anything for 9 months. Right. And
true.
I'm sure that taught Zechariah so much about, you know, listening more than speaking. How that's equal to growing in faith is being able to listen to people and hear them out and have conversation with them. And John the Baptist he prepares the way for Jesus to come and do his work, and he doesn't get enough credit, I don't think, by the people at the time and even by us now. So I'm glad we were able to dig into his background today.
Yeah. John he's very fun and very mighty Bible character.
Yes.
So it's cool to talk about him.
And I challenge you all to read on, because now Luke takes us into the birth of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And back around to his time at the temple and growing up, and then onto his ministry. And it only gets better and better from there.
Who, Jesus or John?
Luke, the whole story.
Oh, it all talking just about gets better. Luke's writing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Everything is just elevated to the next level throughout Luke. So
right.
Definitely right. Challenge you guys to read that. Zach and I will continue to read it. And we're excited.
Yep. Right after Jesus went to the temple, that's what's next in Luke, which we went over last week. But then right after that is when it talks about John the Baptist and how he paved the way. So yeah, take a look at that. You can kind of see, we kind of just talked about how John started, but this is kind of what he did. We talked about how he became, and this is what he is. So yeah.
Stay tuned. Always
a great time, guys. Thanks for listening. You can always find us on Instagram and Facebook at Unscripted Scripture. We always like to hear what you guys have to say. So, DM us. Let us know.
See y'all. Thank you so much. Praying for everyone. And continue to check us out.
Yeah. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.